Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning. Out of the book of Isaiah, chapter 49, Isaiah chapter 59, beginning in verse 1, Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. I want to begin the broadcast this morning. First of all, forgive me, but welcome to all of you that are tuned into Blog Talk Radio, Omega Radio, YouTube, and Facebook. I think we have a very serious issue on our hands today, and I want to get into it. And I want to begin by letting our listeners know that the Word of God explains it very clearly, and I believe it with all my heart, that the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save. Neither is he ear heavy that it cannot hear. He can save. He can hear. God can do anything. And that's not an issue. We know what God can do. We know today that God could change the entire universe if he chose to. God can do anything he wants to do. He's God. He created everything. He could do anything. He could fix anything. He's taken really bad sinners and turned them into saints. He can do anything. But speaking to the nation of Israel through the prophet Isaiah in chapter 59 of the book of Isaiah, he goes on in verse 2 to say, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Your iniquities. Let's look at the iniquities of a nation and how God deals with the iniquities of a nation. Number one, the word iniquities is the avon. It is the avon. And that word iniquity literally refers to perversity. So your perversity has separated you from your God, is what he's saying to Israel. What kind of perversion did Israel entertain in their day? Well, we'll take a look at that. But it also means depravity. The word, again, iniquity here means depravity. It means guilt. It means moral evil. So watch this now, okay? Isaiah chapter 59, God is able to save. He does hear. But the iniquity of the nation, okay, separated them. Now, we're going to get into that in just a moment. But again, we're talking about the iniquity, the avon, and it's talking about a moral evil, a perversity, a mischief. Okay. And so we go back to the scripture and we read again in verse 2. Your iniquities have separated. Have separated. The word, the phrase there, have separated, is the badal. And that phrase there, badal, literally means to separate or to distinguish or to divide. To divide. Okay? So the iniquities of a nation can divide the nation. Now listen carefully, please. The iniquities of a nation can divide that nation from its source. Now, in this case, with Israel, God, Jehovah, Adonai, Elohim, Yahweh, that is, was the source of their existence. They had the Torah. They had the temple. They had the Mishnah. They had everything you can imagine. They had all everything. Their source was God, and yet their iniquities, their perversion, their moral wickedness, their depravity separated them, divided them from their source. Today in America, we have a constitution. We hear about it all the time. We have a constitution. We have laws. We are a legal system. We're a nation of laws. And yet we must admit that America, like Israel, our source for our existence, what caused us to become, was God. The same God that was the source of Israel is the God and the source of America. But just like Israel, we separated or divided ourselves from the source because we chose perversion, depravity, iniquity, moral evil. Okay, so that's not a big deal. And you don't have to look very far to see what kind of perversion is in operation in America today. We could start with pedophilia. We could start with grown men having sex with little boys. We could talk about all kinds of sex trafficking trade. We could talk about men having sexual intercourse with other men. Yes. Okay, that's okay. We're going to continue on. I don't know why Blog Talk is not. They probably don't like the conversation. I'm not sure. However, I want to stay in touch here because we have to deal with an issue about the condition of our country and what we need to expect. And we have to look through a biblical lens. And Isaiah 59 is going to be our lens today, along with other scripture. So you have a perversion within our nation. You have pedophilia. You have homosexuality. You have lesbianism. You have pornography running rampant within our society. You have blasphemy coming out of Hollywood on 7,000 channels on the television, the one-eyed beast, as my cousin Lynn used to call it. So you have a tremendous amount of evil, moral degeneration, moral depravity. And this is in the church as well as it is. And if you'd be honest, you probably know somebody in your church that watches rated R movies, probably somebody in your church that's addicted to pornography, if you want to be real honest, and maybe even have some issues with other things. So what is happening? Now, God is able to save. We're not saying he's not. We know that God can hear the cry of a people. He can. However, again, we go back, but your iniquities have divided you between you and your God. America, like Israel, has cut itself off from its source, God. And even though we have a constitution and Washington, D.C., and a governmental system, that's no different than in the days of Jeremiah the prophet, when all the people of Israel were saying, as Jeremiah was prophesying the gloom and doom of their existence, but all the other patriots, politicians, false prophets, pastors, priests, they were all gathering together doing what? Well, we've got the temple. We're the people of the book. We've got the Torah. We've got all this structure. We've got all this, you know, dominion of power in our governmental system. That didn't seem to matter. What mattered to God was the condition of the heart and the mind of the people. And you have to admit, regardless if you've ever been a partaker in it or not, that when grown men have sexual intercourse or relations with little children, when men have relations with men, when women have relations with women, when men turn their bodies into women and women turn their bodies into men. Caitlyn Jenner, hello, anybody? And it'll go deeper than all of this. And this is not something that is hidden out of our nation. This is wide open now. This is out in the open. Isaiah the prophet continued to say, your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. I left the broadcast yesterday out of Proverbs chapter 1, where God told the people that if you have rejected my knowledge and my justice, watch now, if you have rejected my knowledge, if you have rejected my reproof, if you have rejected my justice, my judgment, I will mock you when your calamity comes. I will laugh at you. And when you cry unto me for help, I will not hear you. You are going to eat the fruit of your own labor. So we have a cry in America today for justice. And yet we have a generation within our nation that has rejected the justice of God by passing laws that were unjust according to the mind of God. So you tell me and you explain to me how 50, 60 years of injustices against God being allowed within our nation, now that we're in trouble, we want God and we want justice in our nation. Why would God capitulate to our desire for justice? Think about it. Why now, after being unjust to him, would he step in and say, okay, I'm going to help you now with justice? I know everybody's talking about all the evil, wicked, bad people that are going to have their skirts exposed and they're all going to go to prison. I doubt it. I don't believe that's going to happen one bit. I believe what you're going to find is God's not going to budge. He is not going to move a finger to bring American justice. No, because America has been unjust towards a holy God. And our generation sat back and did nothing from the church all the way through. 90 million abortions. That's 90 million, ladies and gentlemen. Little babies, God said, before you were formed in the womb, that means you were a fetus, I knew you. And before you came forth out of the womb, I ordained you to be a prophet. God knows the unformed fetus of a person because life is in the blood. We murdered 90 million babies, and there's a huge part of our society today that would murder another 90 million because we want the stem cells. We want that baby fetus energy. We want to put it in our food. We want to put it in our drink. We want to put it in our bodies because there's energy to keep us alive. There's nothing more self-centered than a person would allow for a dead baby fetus to go into their body to keep them alive. Think about that. That's twisted. Think about how diabolical that really is. So we're just being honest. I believe that when Israel was saying, wait a second, we've got the Torah, we've got the temple, we've got the temple priests, we've got everything. God was probably doing then what he's going to do today, not budging. He told Jeremiah, you just keep speaking. You let them say whatever they want to say. It's going to sound good. They're going to fight against you, but don't worry about it. I'm putting a defense around you. Let them say what they want to say. But the inevitability will be that my words through you are going to be fulfilled in their season. Folks, I believe that America today is saying, we've got Washington, D.C. We've got a legal system unprecedented for many in the history of the world. We have churches everywhere. We have democracy. We have freedom. We have liberty. We have the Bible. We have this, that, and the other thing. And God is saying, you are so confused over your own moral degeneration and perversity. Now, can God save? Yes, God can save. Can God hear? Yes, God can hear. Is he going to? The answer is no. The answer is no. Someone says, how could you say that? Because I'm studying God right now. We're looking at God. Let's go on. So your iniquities in verse 2 of Isaiah 59 have separated between you and your God. Your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Now, we already looked at iniquities as the avon, the perversion, the moral wickedness, the depravity. Your sins, the kata, the sins here, which is basically, well, we all know what that is. It's literally an offense. your offenses against God. America has offended nobody but God. For 50, almost 60 years, we have offended God. Think about that. We haven't just offended Russia or China or the left or the right or women or blacks, or we have offended God. Understand that. And this is what their sins, their offense, and the penalty that is associated with it is what the actual word means here. There's a penalty associated with offending God. Okay? And so he will not hear. He will not hear. So let's go back to Isaiah chapter 59. You offend God, and then we expect God to do all these things for us, because what happened in America, we formed a God that he does whatever we want him to do. You see, we don't believe that God is a God of wrath, or God is a God of justice, or God is a God of, punishment or anger. You know, we formed a God that through Jesus Christ, God has had a management, anger management class, and he doesn't get angry anymore, and he's beyond offense, and he won't get offended. And, you know, there's no depth of depravity or evil that you could go in that will ever, you know, move God to anger. That is such a lie. That is not who God is. And all you have to do is read Revelation chapter 16 to know that God does have anger. God does have wrath. God does move. And you look at the scriptures from the days of Lot to the days of Noah and see that God has always brought judgment and consequences to a people that offend him, whether it's his own nation, Israel. And that's who Isaiah is talking about right now. And then he goes on in Isaiah 59, verse 3. For your hands are defiled with blood. America, your hands are defiled with blood. There's no doubt. Your fingers with iniquity. And there's that word again, iniquity. And it's the same word, the avon. Your fingers are filled with perversion and all these things. Your hands are defiled with blood. Your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue has muttered perverseness. Well, think about all the lying that goes on within our nation, from the news media to Hollywood to everywhere, to the church pulpits. Lies, lies, lies. Okay? Then he said, your tongue hath muttered perverseness. Well, that's an interesting word. What is perverseness? It's the avel in the Hebrew. And the avel, listen to the definition now. Again, it is dealing with injustice, unrighteousness, violent deeds of injustice, injustice of speech, injustice generally. So this phrase here, going back to verse 53, your tongue hath muttered perverseness, this is going into our legal system. We have created injustice. Injustice for who? Injustice for the little babies that were being born in the womb. Injustice for the little children. Injustice everywhere. Okay? Everywhere. Everywhere. In the highest offices of political power. We just saw in Jeffrey Epstein that high-powered politicians, presidents in our country and around the world were going to that little pedophilia island in New York. And they were on the Lolita Express, i.e. Bill Clinton, 26 times back and forth, recorded in the log. High-powered politicians operating in the most grotesque activities known to humankind. And yet, Jeffrey's dead, swept under the carpet. It's all okay. They're still doing the most insane, insidious things with the little babies' blood, their bodies, et cetera, et cetera. I know it may be a little rated R for some people this morning, but let's go back to what Isaiah was saying. He goes on in verse 4 and says, none calls for justice, nor any pleads for truth. They trust in vanity. They speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. Now, this word iniquity is a little bit different. They bring forth the aven. And that means, that word there is sorrow. They bring forth trouble, sorrow and trouble. Okay? So, verse 5. We're in Isaiah 59, verse 5. They hatch cockatrice eggs and weave the spider's web. He that eats of their eggs dies, and that which is crushed breaks out into a viper. I heard Pastor Dave Wilkerson teach on this one time long, long, long ago. And it's just the deeds of the evil people in our world. It is the wickedness of the people. And it says in verse 6, their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. And if you would really consider the deep transgression, the deep iniquitous actions that have been promoted in our nation, just our nation, you would see that they are very violent deeds. I cannot imagine anything more violent, nothing, than a person going into the womb of a woman and murdering her child. I cannot think of a more grotesque, bloody crime than this. Now, what we do is we politicize abortion, and so we ignore the consequences that are associated with it, and we have been totally unjust because God said that the shedding of innocent blood is an abomination. So for 60 years almost in our country, that we blaspheme God, we kick God out of our church, out of our society, we don't want God, we promoted what is wicked, we have done violence to the law of God, we've pulled down the laws of God, we've promoted the laws of unrighteousness, we've murdered the innocent babies, we've allowed all these grotesque things to happen within our society. We were once protected, America. All you have to do is go back 70 years and you'll know it was illegal to have an abortion. It was illegal. You went to prison for a homosexual or lesbian act. Nobody was turning their bodies into men or women. No, the pornography was illegal in the United States of America. Come on. Not until Gone with the Wind, when he said, frankly, Scarlett, I don't give a darn, did the whole nation went, they gasped. My God, what just happened? Hollywood promoted the word damn. Now, look where we are today. But it wasn't always like it is. So now that we've had 60 years of blasphemy and sin and iniquity, now we're in trouble. We got some trouble going on. Everybody's admitting it. President Trump admitted it. He's got very powerful enemies, and we won't be seeing him for a while. We have trouble. So now everybody's, let's get on board and let's pray and let's seek God. And folks, the damage is done. That's what God was telling Isaiah to Israel. Sure, I can save you. That's not a problem. I could hear you. That's not a problem. The thing is, I'm not going to save you, and I'm not going to hear you. Because for 60 years, you committed idolatry. For 60 years, you blasphemed my holy name. For 60 years, you defied my laws. You pulled down what is right, and you promoted what was wrong. You became perverse in your actions, and now you're in trouble, so you want my help? And the answer is no. And it's not to say there's not injustice in your society. There is injustice, but the problem is the whole nation, according to Isaiah chapter 1, is sick from the top of the head to the bottom of their feet. The whole nation is sick. The church is sick. The church is divided. The church is schizophrenic. Everything in our nation has confusion and babble written all over it. And only a remnant, and I mean a very small remnant of people, are really connected to God. Is that 1 million people, 10 million people? I don't know what the number of the remnant is. I know there's 360 million people in America. So if 36 million were right with God, that would represent a tithe anyways. Split that in half to 5%, and you get down to about 18 million. And then you cut that in half to 2.5%, and you're down to 9 million. And then if you want to cut it down to the 1% or so, you're down to maybe 5 million people. And 5 million people makes it look like there's a massive revival going on. 5 million people, and then cut that down to even a smaller remnant. and just cut that number 1.5 to 2.5 million, and then even cut that down. You get 1 million people hooping and hollering, praying. You know, we hear about it all the time. Get on those prayer lines. Let's pray, pray, pray. Well, what was going on for the last 60 years? That's what you have to ask. Did all that prayer stop the 90 million abortions? Did all that prayer stop the Obergefell decision in Washington, D.C. in 2015? Did all that prayer stop Hollywood from blaspheming? Or did the very same people that supposedly prayed participate in all that Hollywood was putting out there, the pornography, the unrighteousness? You have to answer the question. I don't know. I'm just saying, if you want to get down to a remnant, it may look like 1 million, 2 million people. There's a massive revival going on. But let us not be deceived. The remnant will be brought through the fire. The true remnant of God is preparing right now for what is coming, because they understand through God's word and the Holy Spirit that God will not tolerate injustice. And when you give 60 years of somebody offending you, and all of a sudden they come, hey, we need your help, we need your help, not because their heart is turned to God and they're sorry for what they've done. No, they go to God because they don't want to lose what they got. Our freedom? We don't want to lose our freedom. Freedom to do what? Blaspheme God? Freedom to do what? Freedom to do what? The wicked, depraved things that we do in our society? Come on. Let's get real. So anyways, Isaiah 59, verse 7 says, their feet run to evil. They make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace, they know not. That's why everybody's taking some kind of pharmaceutical drug to stop the voices in their brain. Come on, we won't even get into that part of it. So the way of peace, they know not. There is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths, America. Whosoever goes therein shall not know peace. We have no peace in our country. They may be crying, peace, peace. There's no peace. Really? What peace? The only true peace that does exist is in the heart of an individual that has the Prince of Peace. That's Jesus Christ. And you look at Christianity today, you got people depressed, people walking in fear, people that are, you know, just, they're not at peace. They're struggling. It's a massive internal struggle. If everybody wants to be honest, what's going on in the heart of it, there's no peace. Only a people, a remnant who have picked up their cross, obeyed God, turned away from the world, went into the direction of Jesus Christ, died to their sin, put off the old man, put on the new man. And, you know, this is pure doctrine, and yet it seems so foreign to so many people that that's what's supposed to be done. It's because of where we are, crooked paths. Crooked paths. And everybody that's in the, well, let me go on. He said something here in verse 9, Isaiah 59, 9. Therefore is judgment far from us. Okay, here's the reason why judgment is far from us. Now let's look at the word judgment here. It's the mishpat. And the mishpat literally means a verdict, a judicial sentence or a formal decree, justice. Justice. So what's happening here? Because of all the sins and iniquities that we just read about, justice is far from us. They start crying out in verse 9. Judgment is far from us. When people participate in the pleasure of sin, which is for a season, and they become ensnared by it, who knows how long they stay in it. Maybe they get delivered and set free because the heart does repent. But that's between an individual and God. But a nation who enjoys the dainties of the idolatry and the blasphemy, not a good deal. It's just not a good deal. You get stuck in that thing, and there's no peace in it. And then again in verse 9, therefore is justice far from us, neither does justice, or judgment is far from us, neither does justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity. For brightness, but we walk in darkness. Oh, I see so many people today waiting for the divine light of God's glorious justice. We want justice. We want the skirts of those wicked people to be lifted up so we can all hooray God. No. The answer is no. It's not going to happen. Because God is not going to bring his justice in the sense of favor upon a nation that has been unjust and silent in the face of injustice in our country. Remember the only people that weren't going to be destroyed in the book of Ezekiel chapter 9 when the six men with their slaughtering weapons are going to go through Jerusalem? The only people that were not going to get whacked were those who sighed and cried for the abominations that were committed in the land. Have you sighed? Have you cried for the abominations committed in our nation? Yes, I have, Pastor. I've cried and I've sighed. Well, good. You'll be spared from the judgment that's going to come, and you're not going to turn it away. I'm not going to turn it away. In fact, if you're really just, you'll align yourself with God and you'll say with God, do, Father, what you're going to do, because you have every right. You say, where do you get that from? In the book of Revelation, chapter 18, all the saints and the angels are crying out when God is pouring out his wrath. They're saying, do it. You have every right to do it. The righteous who side themselves with God in the day of his righteous indignation and punishment upon a people, they side with him. They understand that what he's doing is right. If you have sighed, if you have cried for the abominations in the land, if your heart has been grieved by it, if you are broken with it, if you, like Jeremiah, weep over the condition of your nation, you're going to walk through the rubble. You'll be spared according to the word. But you're going to walk through the rubble of the book of Lamentations just like Jeremiah did. For 40 years, those people contended with him. Oh, no, Jeremiah, get out of here. We're going to be okay. Restoration's coming. The skirts of the wicked within our society are going to be lifted up, and everybody is going to see the shame, and we're all going to be okay again. It's not what happened. That's coming out of some part of man's imagination. That's not coming out of God's word. You see, God is judging our generation for what we have done. We will eat the fruits of our own ways, and only a few. And if it does boil down to a million, 2 million, go to the 10%, 36 million. Well, what happens to the other 328 million or whatever it is? Yes, justice is about to be served. But it's not going to be the lifting of the skirts of Joe Biden, Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton, Barack Obama. It doesn't matter how treasonous they have been against the country. There have been Christians more treasonous against God than those people against the country. Treason against God. America, as a nation, in our generation, we have committed treason against God by promoting laws that were contrary to his mind, by accepting and tolerating and being silent. And yet we stand by and say, wait, we've got the Constitution. We've got Supreme Court justices. We've got all this judiciary and legislative branches of government, and we've got this, that, and the other thing, military power. So you think we're the first? You don't think Rome had all that? They had a Senate and all these different Caesars. Folks, wake up. Wake up to the reality that here we're reading in verse 9 again, therefore is judgment far from us, neither does justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity, for brightness, but we walk in darkness. That's what's happening right now. People are waiting for something. It's not going to happen. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. We have eyes to see, but we don't see. Isn't that what God told the prophet Isaiah to do? Go and shut their eyes, blind their eyes, harden their hearts. in the noonday. We're walking like we have no eyes because we're not witnessing. We're not seeing. We're hearing imaginative things out of the soul realm, but we're not really understanding by the Spirit of God what God is saying to our nation. He's already asked it, pleaded with it, begged for it to repent long ago, and we rejected. So now comes the time of his justice. America's not going to experience justice. You're not going to get American justice. Nobody's going to rule in justice on your behalf, especially if you're born again, because the only one that does that for you is Jesus Christ. He declared you not guilty for whatever you did or I did by the shedding of his blood because of our faith in him. We received not what we deserved. We received divine justice, not guilty, because Jesus Christ paid the price. But God forbid we would go back and do the things that we once did to draw the wrath and say, well, I've got the blood. I'm justified to sin. God forbid. No, we don't do that. Verse 10 or verse 11, it says in Isaiah 59:11, we roar all like bears and mourn sore like doves. We look for judgment, but there is none. For salvation, but it is far off from us. Ladies and gentlemen, the United States of America stands guilty before God. And as was said in the book of Daniel, your kingdom has been weighed in the balances and you have been found lacking. Your kingdom shall be destroyed. God is not a respecter of any person or nation on this earth. He loves those who love him. He loves everybody enough to pay the price for everybody that will come to him. But you're talking, you don't understand the severity of what we have done, obviously. And this is what is kind of hard for me to understand, because I'm not an expert and I'm not holier than thou and I'm not self-righteous. My righteousness comes from God just like yours should. But I'm telling you, it's like we don't get it. We don't understand what we have done against God in our generation. And we watched it. And we let it happen, and we participated in it. And yet now we need God, and we're going to call for justice to expose the bad guys. Are you kidding me? Are you serious? You're following that? You're listening to that? You don't understand the severity of murdering little children in the womb. You don't understand the severity of wickedness in our society. You say, well, I've never had an abortion. I've never had sexual intercourse with another man of the same sex or a woman of the same sex. I didn't change my body into a man or a woman. No, but you participated in the dainties. You watched the rated R movies. You participated in the pornography. You hold offense and bitterness and fear and resentment and anger and unforgiveness in your heart towards people. I mean, pride is in the heart, jealousy, envy, strife. Who's innocent? Who's innocent? A remnant, maybe? I'm bringing this to you today for you to consider that all the rhetoric, the propaganda that is being presented to Christian people's minds about, hey, get ready, light is coming. No. The only true light is not going to be the exposure of evil people in our country. The only true light is going to be the glorious light of Jesus Christ shining in our own hearts as wise virgins having oil to go through the midnight season that's coming. Why are so many people bent on God's going to bring justice to America and make it great again? You haven't seen through that yet? Are you yet immature? Are you still operating out of your soul? Or have you imagined God to be one of the idols of the nations? You're going to now pull God out of the shelf, out of the closet, and say, now, God, fix America. After 60 years of blasphemy and rebellion and defiance against him? If I were you today, I would take a close look at your beliefs. And I would begin to side with God if I were you. Side with God. God doesn't care about Rome. in that, in the sense of if they blaspheme war against him, he doesn't care about America. He cares about a place called Jerusalem, the Israel of God. This is a people. This is a people. The real estate in the Middle East, the place called Israel and Jerusalem, if it's not inhabited by godly people, it's worthy of judgment like it's been its whole historical existence. He's concerned about our hearts, our minds, the condition of our belly. He'll gather together a people that will love him and honor him. And the way that we show love and honor is by not participating in what is evil and offends him. He calls us to repentance, not so that the bad people are going to be found out, so that we could be saved. Because we have an idea about salvation, but it's not real. We have the what Ezekiel called an untempered mortar, a wall that is built with untempered mortar. In other words, there's no strength in that salvation. There's no strength to it. It's a facade. It's a counterfeit. It's the multitude saying, I'm saved by grace through faith. But then when it comes time to enter in, they knock on the door and Jesus says, I don't know you. That's not the remnant or the few. That's the majority. For many shall come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord. Many people's names have already been erased from the book of life. Do they know it? Would you know it? You'll judge a tree by its fruit. By its fruit. How do you live your life? Do you walk in the fear of the Lord? Do you walk in trembling fear of the power of Almighty God? Oh, yeah, but we're his children. Yeah. Yep, we are his children. Fear him. Where's the fear of the Lord? There's not even the beginning of wisdom in today's watered down, polluted gospel that's been preached, because it doesn't teach the fear of the Lord. It doesn't teach walking in humble contrition before God. And we're all mesmerized by the political condition of our nation. Pretty interesting. Anyways, we roar like bears and mourn sore like doves. We look for judgment, but there is none, for salvation, but it's far from us. Verse 12. Isaiah 59, verse 12, for our transgressions are multiplied before you, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. It started out just by a little bit, but our transgressions within our nation and our own hearts have multiplied. Verse 13, in transgressing and lying against the Lord. We have transgressed and lied against the Lord and departing away from our God. That's what we've done. We have departed away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt. Is there any denial that our country has revolted against God, his righteousness, his laws, his justice, his judgment, his reproof, his correction, his truth? You bet we have. So we've done it. Maybe you haven't personally. Maybe I haven't personally. And that'll be your salvation in the collapse of our country or this country. Speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. There's a lot of falsehood in our country. There's a lot of falsehood in the church. There's a lot of falsehood in the heart of man. We utter things and say things that aren't true. We honor God with our lips, but our heart is far from him. We're playing games with God. I watch it. I see it. I have to check myself. I have to look at myself, and we judge ourselves, but I could see it. I've been a pastor for 28 years, and I could see when people are playing games with God. It's when things get really tough, people turn to God, and that's a good thing. But as long as the heart is truly engaged and it's not a game, it's not just, I don't want to get in trouble. I don't want to lose anything. I don't want this or that. So I'm going to act the part. No, that doesn't work. Verse 14, and judgment is turned away backward and justice stands afar off. For truth is fallen in the street and equity cannot enter. Wow. What is equity? Equity is the nakoka, And the nakoka literally means something that is straight, something that is right, something that is straightforward. Integrity. Do we really see integrity in our country? Sometimes the sound of integrity is there, but is there real integrity? Maybe among those one percenters, you know, maybe the half percent within maybe a million people, there's integrity. Straightforwardness, no crooked forked tongue, say what you mean what you say. Well, we go on. It's interesting that integrity cannot enter because of the condition. And then in verse 15, yea, truth fails, and he that departs from evil makes himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. There was no judgment. And that is, again, the mishpat. And the mishpat is the verdict, the justice for righteousness. All right, so what are we saying here today? I'm not saying anything. I'm reading Isaiah 59. This is the condition of the country. Now, as we go on through, remember what we said in the first verse. God's hand is not short that it can't save. Can God save America? Of course he can. It says God has an ear. He can hear the cries of the people. But because of the condition, he says, I won't. Because of the condition, he says, I won't hear you and I won't save you. You're going to look for light, but you're going to have obscurity. You're going to look for brightness, but it's going to be darkness because of the condition. And you have to ask yourself the condition. What condition is your heart in today? In all sincerity, what was it yesterday? What it will be tomorrow? What's been the last week? What's been the condition of your heart in the last month, 6 months, the last year? Where have you been? You're working out your salvation with fear and trembling, right? Okay. So we're all working out our salvation with fear and trembling. I want to tell you a story about the condition of the heart of the church and the nation. Some of you may have heard this before. It's a very real story. It happened many years ago. I'd say probably 25 years ago. I was living in Rancho Bernardo, California, which is a suburb of San Diego, California. It was a beautiful day, blue skies, gorgeous. 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Nobody's out there. Everybody was at work. And I was driving up the road and I came upon a scene where a little old man and a little old lady were outside of their car and they were holding each other for dear life. And when I pulled up, I was the only one on this road. And I saw a bicycle twisted and bent and I saw a man laying in the middle of the street. He obviously was riding a bike down this hill. The car turned in front of him. He hit it and he went flying. I went over to the man. Blood was pumping out of his head like nothing I've ever seen before. I took my shirt off. I wrapped it around his head. I started praying over him. I was really, I went into maybe my own form of shock. I really don't know, but I'm not an EMT. I'm not a medic. I didn't know what to do. So I just remember putting my shirt around his head and praying for him. And I'm praying for him and I'm asking Jesus to heal him and save his life. And all of a sudden, this man starts screaming at me. Now, I want you to know, not only was his head pumping blood out of it, but his knee was wrapped around his head. He was a mangled pretzel. And he started screaming at me. Get away from me. Get away from me. Lee, I got to go. Where's my bike? I got to go. And he got so obnoxious. I stood up and I said, go. Knowing the man was a broken human being, twisted, broken horribly. He was in terrible shock. He did not know his true condition. The ambulance, somebody must have called, came, and they took the man and they put him in there, never saw him again. I got in my car. I started driving up the street. I have tears coming down my cheeks, and I slam the thing, and I say, why on such a beautiful day, Father, why did I have to see that? And I'm telling you as clearly as you're going to hear me say it to you right now, I heard it in my spirit. This is the condition of my church. They are broken. They are bleeding. They have been torn. And they are in shock. And they just want to keep on going. They want to get up and keep on walking. But nobody is paying attention to the condition of their hearts. They're broken. They're bleeding. They're wounded. They're crippled. They're paralyzed. They're ineffective. But they just want to go. Hey, I got to get on that bike, man. I got to go. I cannot imagine that my life has just been interrupted. America, life is about to be interrupted for you. And church in America, if there's no healing balm for every single one of us, and we have not participated in receiving the balm of the divine work of Christ in our lives, we're in trouble. We're unconscious. We're in shock. God forbid. Wake up, America. Wake up, church in America. In the days of Isaiah, it says in verse 16, and he saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, a helmet of salvation upon his head. He put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. To the islands he will repay recompense. Why? Because they're always at ease. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When? When he judges. They don't fear God right now. Who fears the Lord now? He's been silent. He's been quiet. Who fears the Lord? Well, he continued on to say, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west. I'm in verse 19 of Isaiah 59. His glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. This is for the uncompromisingly righteous. Okay? Don't confuse this kind of glory and protection for the unrighteous, the unredeemed. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression. In Jacob, turning from transgression. Oh, but Pastor Vince, the third Supreme Court justice is going to sit on the bench. They're going to overthrow Roe versus Wade. So what about the other 90 million? God could save. God could wink. God could turn. He could do nothing. Say, yeah, well, at least you got some good Supreme Court justices. You guys continue to work it out and deal with it. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. Verse 21. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon you, and my words which I have put in your mouth, shall not depart out of your mouth, nor out of the mouth of your seed, nor out of the mouth of your seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. So what is this in Isaiah 59? It's about the justice of God. And you should look through Scripture. And you should find everything about the justice of God, the judgment of God. You should look at it. And you should see that there comes a time within a nation where their balances are so unjust that God brings a final decision. Because the nation is weighed in the balance. And right now we're trying to fortify the imbalance in our country. Okay, we got to put all this good stuff in here now. Folks, decision time has come. Decision time has come. So I'm not sure if we're broadcasting on Blog Talk Radio or not. I'm going to do something. I'm going to look through our chat room for just a moment. I've got more scripture I want to get into, but let's go into the chat room and say hello. And maybe you have a different opinion. Maybe you have a different idea. I was with a man last night who is an intercessor. He loves the Lord. He talked about these phone calls going on all over the nation. Tens of thousands of people are praying for Donald Trump to win the election. Praise God. And when he does, and then Amy Barrett, it's going to overthrow Roe versus Wade, and good things are going to happen. And come on, Pastor Vince, get on board. Let's go. Maybe you're of that sentiment. I'm not. I'm not of that sentiment. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I believe that this nation has played games with God long enough. I believe that God is saying that in my spirit, in my belly. It's what I believe. And I believe that the day of his justice will come upon our nation. And I believe that even the best among us, if we're not careful, will be as thorns when the fire comes. Now, let me say good morning, first of all, to Cindy. Good morning, Cindy. God bless you. Thanks for tuning in, as always. Laquita, good morning. Hello and amen. Lisa Fitzner, good morning, Lisa. God bless you. Chuck Eastridge, haven't seen you, Chuck. Good morning. Good to see you. Kim Bowling, Colorado. Praise God. Good morning, peeps. Good morning, Sister Lisa. Keith Carey from Ohio. Good morning from YouTube, as always. That Tuesday broadcast was a double portion of steak. Thanks, Keith. I took 6 pages of notes on the new players at the end of days. Amazing. The sea of humanity. Profound. Thank you so much. I want to do that again. Hopefully tomorrow we'll get back into that prophecy. Kelly is saying good morning. Good morning, Kelly. God bless you. And Pastor Kevin Honeycutt. Well, praise God, Pastor Kevin Honeycutt. Good morning to you, sir. And let's go on. I see Chuck is making a lot of really good comments. And we're going to open the telephone lines up. If our Blog Talk Radio, I would love to hear from Pastor Honeycutt and others that are out there listening in right now. People are Keith Carey. Good morning, Kevin, Kim, Sonia, Carol. We see some good mornings from Pastor Kevin again. The damage is done. This is from Pastor Kevin Honeycutt. The damage is done. And going back to normal will not happen because America has gone over the edge of compromise and confusion. I absolutely agree, Pastor Kevin. No doubt about it. You're telling it, Pastor Vincent. Carol Carey says, good morning, Pastor and friends. It's a good day to be thankful and give God the praise. I agree with that, by the way. There's the balance. Sonia, good morning, saints. David Ellison, only 8 remnants were on the Noah's Ark. You got that right, Dave. Wow. Good point. George Wright, good morning and aloha. That's Brother Michael, Pastor Michael John. Keith Carey, Isaiah 59:9. Now, justice on America, good morning all. I think you're right. Justice on America from God's perspective. Remember, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they were both judged to death. This isn't about good and evil. This is about God's holy righteousness. Sandra Matlow, good morning, Pastor Xavier. Good morning, Sandra. Thank you for the thumbs up. Gayla Lawrence, this level of truth the American church is not ready for. Speak the truth. This is the heart of God. Thank you, Sister Gayla. You're an intercessor in a prophetic voice. God bless you. Would love to hear from you as well today. Laquita, amen. We have Sandra Matlow saying, I see that a lot too. I'm not here to judge anyone, but people need to make sure their hearts are real with God. Jesus wants us to have our hearts clean and pure. He don't want any filth in it. Yes, we're not here to judge. We do not pass sentence on anybody. God does that alone. We agree with God, and yet we're to judge all things. Don't forget that. Paul the Apostle said, what do I have to do to judge them that are without? Do not we judge them within? So don't do away with judgment altogether. We should know good and evil, what's right and wrong, and the consequences of both. Sonia says, I see Petrus P. out there. Shalom. Shalom to you, Petrus. God bless you. Sonia says, churches and religious people are snoring. They don't want to wake up. They are holding on to the traditions and beliefs of men. We totally agree, and that's unfortunate. Let's wake them up. The new normal, a lifestyle without God, period. That's right on. And Melissa is saying good morning. God bless you, Melissa, and hello. All right, the number to call right now, if you would like to weigh in on this conversation, whether it's Pastor Kevin Honeycutt, Pastor Dave, Pastor Ken, Pastor Mike, Pastor whoever, prophetic so-and-so, anybody, the number to call, I'm going to put it on the screen for you right now because I'd really love to hear from you all. The number is 818-369-0326. I'm pretty sure that we're still broadcasting live on Blog Talk Radio. Again, the number 818-369-0326. Maybe somebody could give us a heads up. Press 1 on your dial pad. You always have to press 1 on your dial pad. Let us know that we're coming through. In the interim, I'm going to read out of the New Testament now, because someone always says, well, that's the Old Testament. Let's go to the New Testament, 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. I'm going to read out of the Living. And by the way, hold on one second. Let me just confirm that this is a good thing going on here right now. 479-295. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Good morning, and you are on Blog Talk. You have been just fine on Blog Talk. The truth is going forth on Blog Talk, and just blessings back to you. Just keep up what the Holy Spirit has you saying.
Wow. Well, thank you for that. This sounds like my sister, Pastor Peggy.
Yes,
where are
it
you?
Is. Yes, it is.
We missed you last night.
I did. I think I just overdid a bit. So yesterday I was coughing and had a fever, and Ken stayed home and prayed with me, and I'm feeling much better. Thank you very much. It was
Sister Peggy,
just one of those things.
You be
healed.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. You did take the stripes for me, and I thank you. And again, just keep up the truth. You always just speak the word of God. The word of God never fails. And we just have to receive it, believe it, and walk in it.
We'll do
Amen.
It. God bless you. Yes, ma'am. God bless your heart. I appreciate
All
you.
Right.
Love you. God bless you. See you soon.
Love you too. Bye.
All right. Thanks for that call. Okay, so the number is working right now. You have a question. I want to know what your heart is. I see a number of people on the chat room were saying that they agreed with a lot of things we were talking about, but what about you? Is there something else you're seeing? It's not that we're ignorant about what other people are thinking, and believe me, may I say this? There would be nothing more refreshing than to see Roe versus Wade overturned, moral righteousness restored to our nation. You know what we're longing for? You know what we're hoping for? We're trying to put that hope into a system that is broken. The American system is grotesquely broken. What we're really hoping for is the millennium. We're hoping for Jesus Christ to come back and to take over this earth. There's enough power within Christianity to do it, right? Then why isn't it done? Let's take this next call coming in from area code 479-855-4156. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Good morning, Pastor Vincent. Is it my turn?
It's your turn, sir. Good morning.
Good morning to you. It's Pastor Michael. How are you?
I'm blessed, Brother Mike. Pastor Mike, how are you?
Good, man. You know, I'm really enjoying the morning's program, and I just want to give out a couple things on my heart as you were speaking, the severity of being sensitive to the Holy Spirit in this hour, because God's Holy Spirit is really touching His church, because judgment begins in the house of God, as we all know, and it's like a call to repentance and to really examine oneself, because we got to realize something. If we don't recognize the sensitivity of the call to repentance, because this is the spirit of Elijah to kind of restore all things unto him. And so if we don't pay attention to that, we could be ripe for being cast away and headed into the great tribulation, which some people don't think about, and they're heading for the mark of the beast, as we know will be a no-no for those that have read Revelation. But what happens is that if they do go into great tribulation, what happens is that God will not hear, and I know this because we've had our own personal tribulations, God will not hear the cry of the lips when the people are in the great tribulation, but he'll look into the heart. So the sincerity of repentance, that's what the great tribulation is all about, is mercy, is to get people back to the heart of repentance, even in the terrible time of the great tribulation. But those on the other side are getting to the place of a heart of sensitivity to the Holy Spirit, where's that nudging and the conviction and maintaining a clear conscience before our Father. Those are the ones that he's looking for. They're like the wise and foolish virgins. You know, we want to have the oil, like you said. And that brings up my second point, is that there is in Matthew chapter 25 that I just read about the foolish virgins, what the wise says to the foolish. You know, they want, hey, give us some of your oils. That's what the foolish said. But the wise said, no, you go and get the ones, get the oil from those who sell, and you have to buy it. Now, we know something there. To buy it, in order to buy something, when it comes to that place, you have to have the mark of the beast. So my whole question is, Pastor Vincent, down to it, we have to sanctify ourselves from people who take the mark. Is that could be a possibility? Because the wise virgin said no to the foolish. And they, in order to buy the oil that people sell or whatever the goods, they have to have a mark. So is it possible that we have to sanctify ourselves in the days ahead? And that's a good question that I'm asking, Pastor Vincent. I'd like to hear your heart on it.
All right. Well, thank you for the question. I appreciate that. And you made, you know, excellent comments about the wise virgins, the foolish virgins. This is all very true. This is the Word of God. And, you know, I guess what my response to what you're saying is, yes, there's always separation, and judgment is what separates us. Okay. Judgment is what separates us. And if you look at every word in the Greek for judgment, it's three Greek words. It's the krema, the krino, and the krisis. And each one of those words actually refer to separation. So the judgment that is coming in America is going to separate. The judgment that's coming in the church is going to separate. The judgment always produces separation. So, yeah, I totally believe that. And I believe if you don't get the oil now as a wise virgin, you're probably going to have a hard time getting it in the days that lie ahead. And you probably will go into that great tribulation and not be spared. Tough times. Tough times. Great question. The number to call, 818-369-0326. Press 1 on your dial pad when you call in. I want to go to more scripture as well. And but I want to read something. Most of you probably know that we read this during the Feast of Tabernacles. Not very popular. It seemed to have been somewhat of a speed wobble in our feast as we were traveling at high speeds of glorious impact. I mean, really, honestly, the Feast of Tabernacles was so glorious. I read this on a Wednesday night, and it kind of was a speed wobble. We'll just leave it at that. But I want to read it to you. You be the judge. You be the judge. I wrote this, and I stopped writing years ago, to be honest with you. Real writings. I did it for many years, and I stopped writing. But 10 days ago, whenever it was, I wrote this, and I felt like God just said, get behind the computer and write. And so I did. And it was on October 6th that I wrote it. My grace is sufficient for you, says the Lord. For my grace shall empower you to walk through the midst of the violence that shall rage against your nation. The sword is sure to come and is even now being unsheathed from its source. I am the source, says the Lord. And I will place my sword into the hand of a slayer, and he shall strike through many nations and many kingdoms, and many kings shall die. My sword is furbished, and when it strikes, an unsheathing of many swords around the world shall take place. For the sword I speak of is a nuclear sword. The thousand fires will burn throughout New York City, and the lights will go out in America. Anarchy will rise and continue to rise, and the attack from without will come with precision and speed. The propaganda machine in America will be broken. The mouthpieces of deception shall be silenced. There will be no retaliation against the enemy who struck first. For the sword that is released is my sword, saith the Lord, and when it strikes, it will be complete devastation, and the death from the sword will not allow the nation to rise ever again. There will be a great strike against the heart of America, and the body of the nation shall feel the pain as one who has had a heart attack, and the systems will begin to falter and then fall. Death will march through the nation, and the nation will be groaning in the darkness. with no light from the news media, television, internet, telephones, or any other device intended to spread the news of what is happening. Only in my house shall the light be turned on, and my glory shall guide and guard the saints. My provision will be abundant and every need met for those who dwell in the house and are become my dwelling place. My chosen ones shall know and understand the truth and shall surely shine like the stars of heaven. They shall be the source of direction and divine guidance in the days ahead. There's your wise virgins with oil in their lamps. The cities of America will be destroyed. No normal way will be found. And every swindler's scheme will be on display. And none will care for the other, but will only look out for themselves. Food will be poisonous, water will be made bitter, and those who drink it unsanctified shall grow sick and many die. Around the world there will be chaos, yet no news will come into the nation concerning what is happening in other places and in different countries. The awakening will come from county to county and from city to city that they are on their own, and survival instincts of unregenerate beast nature will be activated, and the decay and corruption will rise exponentially. Sickness and disease will continue to rise. An unprecedented pestilence shall cast down multitudes. In the midst of this chaos and confusion shall rise a power, an unusual power, seemingly good, but terribly evil. The unredeemed people of the earth who survive the waves of destruction and make it safe to shore will now be prepared to receive this new power's decrees and solutions. A new system of government will come, and to those who resist it, shall see its fury, and those who watch shall believe that their fury is just and due to the resistors. This is the beginning of the greatest tribulation to ever hit the face of the earth. Christians who knew to do their Father's will but did not do it will be beaten with many stripes, for they failed to prepare their spirits, souls, and bodies for the coming calamity, and are now caught in the snare that was warned to come upon the whole earth. However, even though they did not prepare and are caught in the snare, their allegiance will be to Christ in brokenness of heart and humble repentance. They will suffer the stripes and will be put to death for their unwillingness to go any further with the new world order. These stripes of tribulation and persecution and death will be the cleansing of their robes. The righteous who followed the Lord wherever he led them shall find green pastures even in the midst of the great tribulation. There are prepared places even now that the elect shall enter into and find pasture and nourishment for their beings. Now the endurance test begins, and the days of sorrow and calamity come. The dragon who gives power to the beast shall rise and empower the governmental and spiritual aspects of the beast kingdom, and surely Mystery Babylon shall ride upon the back of the beast of burden and will ride pompously through the nations of the earth. Be ready, watch, and pray. That's what this pulpit and person are hearing from the Spirit of God. And some people say, man, that's so gloomy, that's so doomy, that's so dogmatically yuck. Come on, get on the brighter side of this moment. Get into the bandwagon of justice is going to be seen and the evil skirts are going to be. I can't. I don't believe that's God's heart. If you love Jesus Christ, if you're a lover of God, serving him, keep your eyes on him. Stay close to him. Love Jesus with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And if you feel just a little bit away from him, draw near to him. Not with your lips, but with your heart. go after him. Say to him, you are not going to leave me now. Jesus, my Savior, Yeshua, my Messiah, you saved my life, and I'm not allowing you to go anywhere without me being next to you. I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. And whatever your mind and your heart and your intention is for this world, I want to be with you no matter what. And when I read your word, I just know that a day of justice is coming upon this earth. And Lord, we want your kingdom to come. We desire righteousness. And I want to go now to the scriptures in 2 Peter chapter 3, and I want to read them. 2 Peter chapter 3, let's listen one more time. Out of the Living Bible, 2 Peter 3:1, this is my second letter to you, dear brothers, and in both of them I have tried to remind you, if you will let me, about facts you already know, facts you learned from the holy prophets and from us apostles who brought you the words of our Lord and Savior. First, I want to remind you that in the last days there will come scoffers who will do every wrong they can think of and laugh at the truth. We've been doing that in our country, laughing at the truth. This will be their line of argument. So, Jesus promised to come back, did he? Then where is he? He'll never come. Why, as far back as anyone can remember, everything has remained exactly as it was since the first day of creation. That's their argument. They deliberately forget this fact, that God did destroy the world with a mighty flood long after he made the heavens by the word of his command and had used the waters to form the earth and surround it. And God has commanded that the earth and the heavens be stored away for a great bonfire at the judgment day. All ungodly men will perish. Now, you know what I know. There is a final judgment day. There is a bonfire, and that's what Peter's talking about. But how many of you know there have been bonfires of judgment from the beginning of time? Whether it was in Sodom and Gomorrah, whether it was in the days of Noah, whether it was in the destruction of the temple in 586 BC, whether it was 70 AD, go on down the list. All the way through into our very day, there have been many days of accountability, and America is facing one right now. And I'm not so sure, maybe you could help me out on this, I'm not so sure that we even really know how to repent anymore. To weep before the altar, to lay on our faces and grieve over the condition. I don't know if we're really able to do it or if it's an act or if it's pretension. I don't know if anybody knows what a broken heart is anymore. I don't know, but I don't see that in the prayer rooms and the prayer lines and the churches. Brokenness, where people are broken for what they have been like, I just don't know. Have you ever experienced it? Do you know what it is to be broken before God? Nobody else looking, just broken. I don't know if we can even do that anymore. In the book of Joel, they called everybody to gather together and weep and cry out. Do you see that? What does it mean to weep and be broken for the condition of our own hearts, for our own sin? I don't know if it could happen anymore unless God does something to make that happen. But if we don't repent and confess our own sins, how do we expect God to fix a nation that has defied him and rebelled against him and mocked him and laughed at him? I don't understand that. I want to go on just a little bit further. A bonfire at the judgment day when all ungodly men will perish. Man, a bonfire. Judgment. But don't forget this, dear friends, that a day or a thousand years from now is like tomorrow to the Lord. He isn't really being slow about his promised return, even though it sometimes seems that way, but he is waiting for the good reason that he is not willing that any should perish, and he is giving more time for sinners to repent. Has he not given much time, much mercy? The day of the Lord is surely coming as unexpectedly as a thief. And then the heavens will pass away with a terrible noise, and the heavenly bodies will disappear in fire, and the earth and everything on it will be burned up. Do you believe that the early morning in the days of Lot, when a few people were being told to get out of Sodom and Gomorrah, do you believe the inhabitants of Sodom and Gomorrah had any idea what was about to happen to them? Do you think the American public has any idea, not asteroids and comets and meteorites, but nuclear weapons, dirty bombs going off in this country on the same day? Do you think anybody would expect such a thing? Now, I know that the angels were telling Lot and the family, get out of here. Destruction is coming. Because they had some awareness, but Lot's wife looked back. And you know, I hear this a lot in the last couple of days. Don't look. And you put that in its proper scenario, and it's to a people that are being told to come out of her. But there are people who have affections in the world. Do you yet have affections in the world? Well, you may turn back. Turn into a pillar of salt, which simply means you're not going to proceed any further in your journey with Jesus. He who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. This one thing I do, said the Apostle Paul, I forget those things that are behind and I press toward the mark. Isn't it time to press towards the high calling of God in Christ Jesus? Praise the Lord. I've got a call coming in. I'm going to take a time out right now. And let's go to this phone call coming in from area code 605-695. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, I've Pastor Vincent, I've heard you speak many times in the years gone by. And now lately, you've been bringing out about how God is transforming our minds, the people that have yielded and surrendered to Christ. And then how even with God is raising up people to open their homes sometimes as the Lord leads, and it is fellowshipping in prayer there. Okay, I have been in communist countries, and when a country gets taken over and that you don't have freedom to go from place to place, and so that is one thing the American people are going to have to realize. We're going to have to be led of the Spirit of God and know the people in your area, wherever God has you geographically in the United States, and go from there, but totally be led of the Holy Ghost.
Amen to that. Isn't that the truth? What does that even mean, be led of the Holy Spirit? How can a people be led by the Holy Spirit who they can't see if they're not producing the fruit of the Holy Spirit in their lives, right? I mean, don't we all have to judge the fruit of our own existence? And I guess I'm getting to this point of wondering, do we even know what true repentance is anymore? Do we know what it is to confess with a broken heart anymore the things that we have done? Do we know what it is to really know the true Holy Spirit? Do we know anything? I know the Apostle Paul wrote about another Jesus and another spirit and another gospel. So there's a counterfeit everywhere. And in the last days, deception would be great. Even the elect could be deceived. And I'm just wondering, with all the rhetoric and all the stuff going on, does anybody really know the truth of God's heart anymore? Have we been broken, abandoned our lives, and lived for someone else other than ourselves? I just don't know anymore, and I'm judging myself. But I read the scriptures, and I see Father God's heart here. And yet, everything seems so peculiarly different, and I don't understand. And I'm going to say it again. I said it yesterday with Daniel, Sister Kathy. The grief is not going away, and I don't know what it is. There's a grieving, and I don't know what it is.
Okay. As God's children, we have to be broken and spilled out. That's the term, before the Lord. And to know his voice, it's in Jesus said, my sheep will know my voice. And sometimes, I don't know in your situation, but as we become obedient and that to his voice to do or go or speak to this one or that one. He tests us. The Lord tests us, because this glory of God that people are coming into, the ones that are God's chosen people and the army, call it what you want, they have got to be knowing what to do, because we will come to that point. And I'm not saying I have not arrived, I'll tell you that, because like you said, all of a sudden you thought you were dead to something. Man, I thought I dealt with that. God, got to go back to God, get it clean. That's my theory on the whole thing.
Yeah, but Kathy, you're at least looking, searching, examining, pressing, willing to be cleansed. You've been serving God for how many years? 50, 40? 50, I don't know.
Yes, 50.
50 years you've been in the journey, ministering on Indian reservations, been out there. You're still working it out and seeing things going, oh my God, this is in me. What about the people that aren't even looking anymore and yet believing that everything is going to be as it was? And this is what Peter is all about here. This is about people not really knowing the day that we're in, not understanding the times that we're living in. And it's a very dangerous thing. And so if we could wake some people up, if we could stand on the boat as we approach the Niagara Falls and start jumping up and down and saying, wake up, wake up, wake up, maybe somebody will wake up. Maybe we'll wake ourselves up from the strong, deep sleep that we've all been in.
I think amen.
Come on, go ahead.
It's mercy of God on every one of us, even that have walked with the Lord all these years. And it's mercy that rewrote our lives when we were out in the world. It's the mercy of God. So the journey is going to get harder, because we're entering into the winter of time now upon the earth.
Pray now that your flight is in the winter. And Pastor Honeycutt is listening with us right now. He says, repentance and brokenness is far and few that do it. The harvest is ready. The laborers are few. We must hear God's voices, and the days of violence are approaching. I would go out and say, I would just go out. I mean, we do, right? People are going out now. We're hearing it. There's more boldness. People are declaring Yeshua, Jesus Christ. What do you do if someone's house is on fire and you're their neighbor? Do you just say, walk on by and say, don't say, hey, your house is on fire. You're about to lose everything you've ever had. I guess you got to have to be in a big park or something.
Well, you better pluck them out of the fire spiritually in that sense. You know, the Bible talks about that. When you're going to bring somebody into righteousness of God, be careful that we don't get in the fire. You know, we don't get in ourselves and be burned. So in the natural, you would automatically, pluck them out of the fire, and I'm just talking that way. And then naturally, I think we might have to bring blankets and food, and I don't know, wherever people are, they're going to have to open up their hearts like Christ would do. I was hungry and you fed me. You know, it's going to go like that.
Yeah, the fires in California, Oregon, Washington, hurricanes down in Louisiana, the Bahamas, still Puerto Rico. I mean, the nations of the earth are getting struck with every sign that Jesus warned us. He forewarned us. When you see these things, get ready, because the persecution's coming. And so God's people need to wake up. Kathy, I've got to run. I've run out of time. Thank you so much for calling in today. As always,
bye-bye.
What a refreshment. Bye-bye. All right, we're going to have to say goodbye for now. I trust that you'll do well in your walk with the Lord. Now, is there a balance to everything we said? Absolutely, there's a balance. Is there joy? Is there peace? Yes, go and live an abundant life if you can, and you're not walking with a limp of brokenness. Be healed. Remember your past and what you've learned from it, and don't repeat it anymore. Move forward into the destiny and long and hope for God to bring his kingdom into this earth. and let the Spirit and the Bride say, come quickly, Lord Jesus. I'm Pastor Vince, got to go. Today, right now, on OmegaRadio.org, that's OmegaRadio.org, there's a roundtable discussion. It's going to talk about some very deep things. If you're interested, you can go there right now. Patricia Joy Xavier, out of her book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights, will be having a roundtable discussion with some really powerful people. Thank you for joining in. I'll see you tomorrow. I'd like to have Pastor Dave and Pastor Honeycutt join me, and we could all do a screen thing tomorrow and have the voice of the pastors out here. We'll see how it goes. God bless everybody. Shalom. Until we meet again tomorrow. I'm Pastor Vince. Goodbye. Have a blessed day.